You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to get on with the message. I'm going to give you a little recap on what we started last week, which was this new series, our March series, titled All In. And the premise of the series is that you can't really experience the fullness of life in Christ if we're only halfway in. You gotta be all in. You gotta buy into the whole thing. And Jesus, he did make a promise, and this is where we've based this series in John 10:10. We read this passage last week, and I'm gonna read it to you again. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So we talked about this passage last week. If you were with us, you remember that we talked about the two camps that this passage represents, the two domains. One is the domain of the thief. The other one is the domain of God. One is the domain where the thief tries to come to steal and kill and destroy. And the other one is the domain of abundant life. And if you remember, we talked about the thief is not simply the devil. Sure, it talks about the enemy, but the thief is a spirit of the age. It's a thought process. It's a mentality. And it comes from the Greek word kleptēs, which means one who does not care to instruct, but uses his influence, his power for self-gain. And that's what the kleptēs, that word thief there, means in that passage. And this spirit, this idea, this mentality, this way of existence is all too common in our culture. It's all too common in our society. It's all too common. It's more common than we would like to admit. It's more common than we would like to see it. And if we admit it, if we really pay attention, we see that it's all around us. Now, the solution we proposed last week is to follow what Jesus said. You cannot pour new wine, you cannot receive new wine, that is, new action, new practices, new disciplines, new practices into old wineskins. That is, old mentality, an old lifestyle, an old mindset, old paradigms. You got to have new wineskin, right? Think of Twitter. Twitter is a new wineskin, right? You can't put, if you're a novelist and you're long-winded, Twitter's not going to work for you. You're going to feel like it just doesn't work. I can't reduce my thoughts to 280 characters. It just doesn't work. You have to have a new mindset to be able to use Twitter properly. Right? Your wine has to match the wineskin. You can't bring a film camera to an Instagram party. It just doesn't work. You're going to take your pictures. You can't show them to anybody. You got to wait. What? I don't know how long now you have to wait to develop your film. Anybody still develops film here? If you're not a professional, you're not developing film. You're taking, instead of taking one picture, you're taking 10 with your phone and going through and picking the best one, applying the filters and showing it to everybody. Instagram, you can post it to your followers. There's comments there. People can like it. Film camera is not going to work. You can't give a cowboy who has never driven a car the keys to your car. Your Ford Focus does not respond to giddy up. All right? You got to know how to drive a car. It's a different means of transportation. Your wine has to match your wineskin. And this is the problem that we want to solve with this series. Because you can't have abundant life. You can't experience the life that Jesus came to promise if your mindset is still stuck apart from what Jesus has called us to do or live. If your mind is still existing in the domain of the kleptēs, the domain of the thief. You know, Scripture says that we are not going to enter the kingdom of God if we think that way. And that's not about salvation. That's not eternity with God. That's life here. Being saved here from all these things that are trying to hold us back. I'm talking about your lifestyle, your existence, living in your purpose. If we're seeking the wrong thing, it's just not going to work. And that's why last week, if you remember, I read to you a passage in Luke, had everybody close their eyes. It was a nice moment together, listening to the words of Jesus. And it's a word that challenged people. It challenged people's paradigms. In the first century, the Greco-Roman culture was challenged by it. But it challenges us right now in 21st century just the same. Because we might have evolved in our technology, we might have evolved in the way we do things, we might have evolved in how our world looks and how we produce, how we work, but our heart still yearns for the same things. We're not worlds apart when it comes to the needs of the heart, the needs of the soul from the people that were with Jesus. That's why that passage is still poignant today. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read a couple verses so we can recap. Luke 12, verse 22 says this. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." Verse 31 says this. "Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This is a tremendous challenge for many of us. But this is the way to freedom. This is the way to freedom from greed, freedom from selfishness, freedom from isolation, freedom from anxiety. Many times freedom from depression, freedom from a life that is stuck in the world of the thief. And there are many more conditions that tend to appear and show up in our lives when we're not living in our purpose. Now, let me say this. I do believe that there's a level of anxiety. There's a kind of anxiety and depression that is medical, that needs to be treated. You need treatment. You need medicine. And it's not that you're bad or anything. It's just that your body is not working right. It's not producing the right hormones and the right endorphins. There's a lack of balance there. But I also believe that there's a tremendous connection between this passage we read in Luke, where Jesus speaks to the anxiety and the worry and the constant thinking of what's next, to the passage in John 10:10, where Jesus said the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Because that's what we fear, right? When we're anxious, when we're depressed, when we're facing situations that we can't control, what we're feeling is really a fear of destruction, a fear that something is going to get stolen and taken from us. There's a tremendous connection there. And the spirit of the thief, his goal is to steal your joy, steal your happiness by making you anxious, by making you depressed. See, the thief's spirit does this by creating these pseudo needs that traps us. And it's all these fake needs that we think we need, that we need to pursue, all these needs that we need to chase. And the idea is that happiness is at the end of that chase. Happiness is on the other side of that chase. That if you continue to chase and pursue, you finally are going to get to happiness. The thief creates these diversions. Diversions from your purpose. Diversions from your goal. So you may be confused. Confused and unsure about your purpose and the meaning of your life. I heard somebody say this week, this quote, and I really like it. I don't know who actually said it, but somebody was quoting somebody else, and the quote is this: that depression is not the opposite of happiness, but depression is the opposite of purpose. And I find it really profound, really deep. And I think that that's why our vision, I know this is part of why our vision is to connect you to God, connect you to others, and connect you to purpose. Because there's a need for each of us to know what our purpose is. And there's a need for us to be connected in community. You may watch us online, listen to the podcast, but there's nothing like being in the room. There's nothing like being connected here with one another, worshiping God together, connecting to God, others, and purpose. See, the thief, he wants to steal your purpose so that you think that your life has no meaning. He wants to steal your peace so that you're constantly searching and looking and living life worried and concerned and fearful. But Jesus, he came to give us a clear purpose. In fact, if you don't know your purpose today, I'm going to tell you. In fact, I already read your purpose, but I'm going to repeat it for you in case you didn't catch it. We all have a common purpose. We all have a purpose. God has given us a purpose. And Jesus is saying to us that our purpose, your purpose, is not the way of the world. Your purpose is not to live life anxious, worried, concerned, depressed. That's the way of the thief. That's the way of the world. Our purpose is clear and simple. In fact, my purpose is the same as your purpose, which is the same as his purpose and her purpose. Our purpose is this. It is to seek God's kingdom first. That's it. That's our purpose. To seek God's kingdom first. But JD, what am I supposed to do with my life? I'll tell you. You're supposed to seek God's kingdom first. I know. But what about my talents and my gifts and my aspirations and ambitions and things that I want to accomplish in this world? You use them to seek God's kingdom first. But JD, I'm not a Christian. I didn't grow up in this. I'm not a church person. You're not ineligible. We'll give you an opportunity, a formal opportunity to begin a relationship with Christ. We can take care of that. But Jesus' invitation includes all of us, those of us who are here, and those of us who are not here, your friends, your family members, people in our community, includes every single one of us. And the way to go about it, the way to engage in this life-giving experience, in this abundant life, is to seek God's kingdom first. That's it. That's our purpose. It's in the outworking. In the outworking of seeking God's kingdom first, that everything else, is what Jesus says, will be added unto you. It's not in the seeking of everything else that God's kingdom will appear to you, because that's usually how we want to live, right? We want to seek everything else and hope that we will find God, the ultimate happiness, the ultimate joy. And Jesus is saying, no, you seek God's kingdom first. And then you won't have to seek everything else. Everything else will be added unto you because your Father knows that you need them. I got to tell you, this is the way to live the abundant life. Because God, it's in the outworking of seeking God's kingdom that he will lead you. God will lead you to the right person. He will lead you to the right connections. It's just going to happen. He will ignite your gifts. And he'll say, this is where you need to connect your gifts to. This is the person that you need to help. This is how you're going to impact the world. This is an idea for a product that you can develop to help heal the world. This is an idea for a product that you can develop to help others. It's in the seeking of God's kingdom that you will impact the world in a positive way. It's not God's desire for you to live life deflated and defeated and depressed and anxious. That's not his plan. His plan is for you to live full of joy, full of purpose, connected to the Father because he is guiding you. Now, we have in our own lives a testimony that is developing now. I can't tell you details yet, but it is developing right now. Something that God is doing and the doors that he's opened for our lives personally that we didn't think was going to happen for another few years. And he just went in and like, here, I know what you need. I know what you want. Here, I'm going to make it happen right now. And in a matter of days, he's opening the doors while we were pursuing his kingdom. Right? So Jesus is the way to freedom from this anxiety and worry, and he is the way to abundant life. Let me tell you this. He knows what you need. In fact, he knew what you need now before you knew what you need now. He already knew your needs. He already knew the paths you were going to cross and take. So know that you can rest in him. You can rest. You can have peace. Now, seeking God's kingdom is not a passive thing. It doesn't mean that you're going to sit around and just hum. What are you doing, babe? I'm seeking God's kingdom. You're not just going to sit around humming and worshiping. What does it mean, JD, to seek God's kingdom? Look at Jesus. I don't think there's any other life that is more active than the life of seeking God's kingdom. Because when you pursue God's kingdom, you're going to activate things on the inside of you that are going to put you in situations where you're going to live in his purpose. If you look at Jesus, you see he was working all the time. Jesus had things to do. In fact, he even healed on the Sabbath, which was uncustomary. Got in a little trouble for it. So in the next few weeks, this is what we're going to do. We're going to show you how to seek God's kingdom. That's what this series is all about. And to make the most out of life. Because we're going to share with you and guide you towards some spiritual disciplines. Okay? And today I want to share the first spiritual disciplines of this series that we're going to give you. This is going to be very practical. And the first discipline I want to share with you is the discipline of simplicity. Simplicity. To go all in does not always mean for you to do more. In fact, for most of you, because of where we live, you know, because of where we are in the country, I assume that you do plenty. I assume that your calendar and your schedule is full. So for most of you, this might mean to pursue God's kingdom actually might mean doing less. To go all in means doing less. Less of what's unimportant so you can focus more of your time on what's important. That's why I want to encourage you today to pursue simplicity. Because the spiritual discipline of simplicity does that. Now, simplicity really addresses the excess, right? It's a spiritual discipline that encourages you to not live in excess in any area of your life. And this is interesting because I had this planned probably over a month ago to share this spiritual discipline at the top of our series. And it's interesting that in what's been developing in the past few days with the coronavirus and everybody, you know, not knowing what to do, you get to see in our culture how much we rely on excess. When we get fearful, we just get more of stuff. I mean, who had tried to buy any hand sanitizer lately? Right? One friend here from the church was at Costco, and he said there was 450 people in line with full carts at Costco. Why? Because when we get fearful, when we live in the domain of the thief, we will resort to some of the things that makes us feel like we are in control. And part of it is excess. If I have more of everything, then I can breathe a sigh of relief. And so simplicity addresses that. But there's other areas of simplicity that we can address today. And really the heart of it is the fact that we tend to complicate life. This is what scripture says in Ecclesiastes 7:29. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Another translation says this: God made man and women. That man right there is a gender neutral expression in the original. God made man simple, but man has sought out many schemes. In other words, we complicate things. God has made man upright. There's a desire in us to be upright, to be straightforward. And you don't have to look too far to see how complicated humans have made some things. But God didn't design him that way. See, life with God is not complicated. It's upright and simple. Seeking God's kingdom is not complicated. It's upright and simple. Being a good husband, being a good wife is not complicated. It's upright and simple. Living with within your means financially is not complicated. It's upright and simple. Leading a healthy lifestyle is not complicated. It's upright and simple. God made us to thrive. He made us to rest in simplicity. That's where we thrive, in simplicity. So I want to encourage you today to make your life simpler in three areas. There's more areas that you might think of, but just to give you a picture of what simplicity can affect in your life beyond excess. Simplify your speech. Now, some of us, we feel the need to continually add and embellish what we say, right? To kind of like go the extra mile. And if you constantly feel the need to add and embellish and make things sound better than they actually are, ask yourself, like, why is that? Why do I feel that need to project things differently than the way they are? What kind of pressure would make you want to do that? Is it the thief instilling fear in you? Is it insecurity? Is it the need to be a people pleaser? Is it maybe pride trying to creep in? Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. In other words, there's no need for you to hide or to embellish or to add or to change the fact or to feel the pressure to make things look better. So let me encourage you to simplify. Decide to be truthful at all times, no matter what. Because if you do that, you don't have to keep tabs on what you said and then have to work to make it happen, right? I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you said something that wasn't true, but you had intention of doing it, and now you have to catch up, right? I'm almost there. You haven't even left the house yet. Oh, you guys, you're too good. You're having a conversation with somebody. Is there a problem? Is there a problem with this agreement? 20 red flags are going up. Your heart is going like, yeah, there's a lot of problems. And you say, no, there's no problem at all. I got you, man. I got you, girl. No problem. Meanwhile, the red flags are just going, what? Can you believe what they asked me to do? No way. How about this one? The check is in the mail. You don't even have stamps. The check is in the mail. I got to run to the post office, get the stamps, and put it on the envelope. It's in the mail. It's in the mail. Simplify. Be truthful, right? Simplify your speech by staying out of gossip and negative chatter. Just stay out of it. Don't complicate your life. Don't get into those conversations. Stay out of it. Proverbs 17:9 says this. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates close friends. And we need this truth in our lives. Let's be people that stand for good. That cover offenses. That cover of other people's offense. Be part of conversations that are uplifting, that cover one another. Somebody comes to you and says, would you believe what Shelly did? Shelly must be off her rockers. Don't go ahead and say, oh yeah, I already knew. I knew Shelly was going to be trouble. You know, I just had a feeling about Shelly. No. Say, you know what? She probably didn't mean it like that. We don't know what she's going through. Maybe we should reach out. Reach out to Shelly and help Shelly. Help Shelly today, huh? Second thing. I don't know any Shelleys, by the way, okay? This is not. Second thing, simplify your finances. This is a big part of the simplicity, spiritual discipline, really, in the scriptures. And it's a big part of our lives. And it's the easy, I think, out of everything in our lives, it's the easiest thing to complicate. Because we live in a capitalist society. Everything means you gotta pay for something. And you gotta get this subscription and get that card and then this thing. And then we promise you're gonna save a ton of money if you pay 17.5% in interest, which I think nowadays is probably a deal, right? Now, I believe that this is the easiest area to complicate. But at the same time, we talk to many people, and for most people, this is the area where they have the best intentions in. And I know you do. People have the best intentions in their finances. But most times they feel powerless because it's easy to just get in the convoluted system. So let me clarify something for you. If you're under financial pressure right now, if you're going through a valley in your finances, it is not God's will for you to live in debt. It is not God's will for you to live defeated financially. It's just not. It's not His will. Scripture says that you shall lend and not borrow. In Romans, Scripture says, let no debt remain outstanding except to love one another. It's not God's will for you to be constantly worried about what bill you're going to have to pay and what you're going to do and how you're going to make things happen. See, the thief is the one who wants to leave you shackled and depleted. So I'm going to give you two things to simplify your finances today, okay? These are practical things. Take notes if you want. It's on the app. But the first thing is this. Live on a cash basis. Why? Do your best to live cash basis. Because there's no way to add more debt if you're dealing with that. There's no way to add more debt if you're on a cash basis. So eventually you're going to resolve that problem. Second thing is this. Commit to the 10-10-80 model. Have you ever heard of the 10-10-80 model? Anybody? 10-10-80 model is this. It's a simple model of managing your finances. And is this. Every time you get paid, every time you earn dollars, the first thing you do is to separate what you're going to give. The second thing you do is to separate what you're going to save, and then you live with the rest. So the first 10%, that's what the scriptures guide us to do. The first 10% is for generosity. You set that aside for generosity. And that's the first to leave your paycheck. It's the first fruits. It's the principle of first in scripture. The principle of the first fruits. And the reason why this is important is because it's God's way for us to reject greed, dependency on money, dependency on capital. The second thing, the second 10% is the 10% you will save. And this is not out of fear. This is not out of greed. This is so you can sleep at night. So that a year from now, you know that if you get a flat tire or if you have some medical bills or something you need to take care of, you have enough. You have something to take care of that. And then you live with the 80%, living within your means. That's the 10-10-80 model. You give 10, you save 10, and you live on 80. And it's simple. It's simple. If you can accomplish that, it's simple. Smooth sailing. The problem is that we start with the 80, and then life happens, and you go to 90. And then life happens again, and you go to 110, and you say, I'll take care of that later. And that's how you get worried. That's how the snowball grows. So let me remind you of this. That your financial peace is more important than the trends. Your financial peace is more important than you staying up with the trends. And if you need to talk to somebody, we have a connect group here that's focused on financial peace. So let me encourage you to get into that. They go through a great curriculum by Dave Ramsey, and you can get some clarity on that. And because we want to see you thrive. You know, if you can't afford all those things, God bless you. You know, if you can't afford the latest gadget and technology and shoes, and God bless you. But you don't need cable and Netflix and Hulu and whatever else, right? We don't need all that. We need less of that, actually. So simplify. Make adjustments. Make the adjustments that you need so you don't have to consume all the time. And I'll tell you this. If you are faithful in the little, Scripture says, God will set you over much. He supplies the seed to the sower. This is what Scripture says in Proverbs 14:21. But blessed is he who is generous to the poor. There's something about generosity that blesses God. There's something about generosity that gets his attention and delivers you from the fear of the clipped ace. He says, test me. Now, what I'm teaching you today is not just something that we choose to do personally, my wife and I, but it's something that we do as a church. We are a giving church. Every single month, we write checks to help local causes and national causes and international causes. We have a savings fund. It's small right now, but we have it as a church. And we operate on a cash basis. We don't owe anything to anybody. We've been existing for 5 years now. We don't have any debt. We buy everything cash. We don't even have a credit card as a church. Everything we own, we bought cash. And we choose to live lean and frugal as an organization. And let me tell you, that helps you sleep at night. If you run a business, you can apply this to your business too. It just helps you know that you don't need the next sale. You don't need the next client. You're not going to be like dependent on the next, because there's room for you to breathe. And that's important. That adds to your peace. It's an important part of your life. Simplify. If you have to cancel some subscriptions for a season, do it. If you have to drive a car that's a little bit older but reliable for a season, do it. God will honor you for that. And if you do have enough, you know, just consider this. You don't have to live in excess and serve that lifestyle. God has given you control over that. All right. Third thing for you to simplify today, and I'm going to end with this point, is this. Simplify your calendar. Let me ask you this. Why are you working so hard? Why are you involved in all the things that you are involved in? What are you actually pursuing when you get yourself in all of those items in your calendar? For those of you who are extremely busy and feeling like you don't have time for anything. In the end of all that, what are you gaining? Right? Are you just in that spinning wheel? Or are you actually living out your purpose? Here's a question for you to ponder. At what point did the thing that was supposed to give you life ended up draining the life out of you? When did you cross that threshold? Right? God didn't intend for you to live that way. Remember this, time is life. And everyone is going to try to get it from you. Everyone is going to try to insert themselves. But you have the power. You have the ability to choose how you spend your time. And Jesus gave us this direct and simple structure. Simplicity, simple. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's it. Seek first the kingdom of God. I love this quote by Stephen Covey. It says this, don't prioritize your schedule, but schedule your priorities. So choose the things that matter to you. Every single one of you probably have a schedule. If you have a smartphone or you have a calendar. And then calendar it. Schedule it. Schedule the priorities that you have. If life with God is a priority and you think, man, I haven't had time to pray and to read my scriptures. Life is just so busy right now. I just don't have time. Let me remind you, you do have time. Just schedule it. Schedule. Put it on your schedule. I'm going to read my Bible for 15 minutes in the morning or at night, however you do it. Right? Put it on your schedule. Time with your family. Make sure you have, if you're married, make sure you have dates or time together with your wife, your spouse, your husband. Right? Make time for friends and what matters to you, your priority. Schedule your work. Simplify it. Why? Because if you don't simplify it, it is inevitable. In the world we live in, the thief is going to come in and take your time. Just things are going to pop up and your time is just going to go out the window. But if you commit ahead of time, then when the thief comes on knocking and say, hey, you got to be here, you got to be there, you got to be there, you got to be everywhere. You gotta go, 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 you gotta go. You gotta say, no. I've already scheduled time. I've committed my time to what's important. And this is what I'm gonna do. So simplify your calendar. And if you do that, If you make a practice of simplicity, remember, God has made you to live upright. And if you make a practice of the spiritual discipline of simplicity, you will see your life go to the next level. You're going to have time to seek God's presence. You're going to have time to live with your loved ones. You're going to have time to invest in your spiritual life, in your soul life. You're going to have time to exercise, to walk on the park and watch the sunset and just breathe. If you practice this, you will have funds to do what you need to do and make an impact to help your family, help others. If you simplify your speech, you're gonna have a lot less regrets in conversations and fights and things that might have come your way. And you're going to live life at peace. And God will continue to bless you. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Amen. So good to have you.